It's time for another Castle Valley FYI, and joining us in the studio today, we have Carbon County Commissioner Jay Potter. First off, Mr. Potter, it's great to get you in today. It's been a while since we've had you in the studio, but I definitely appreciate you taking out the time to come join us.
Thanks for having me in today. Some important things we need to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. And last time we had you in, it was right after the legislative process, and we were talking about the port project, and we can talk about that in just a moment. But first off, let's talk about a scoping meeting, which is in regards to a moratorium placed on coal leases. This is coming up May 19th in Salt Lake City, and it definitely affects everybody here in the local area quite a bit.
It really does. This meeting was scheduled by the Bureau of Land Management or the Department of Interior. It's one of six meetings in the western United States, and yes, we're glad that there is one in Utah. But the problem is that they forgot to schedule it here in Carbon County or Emery County or even Sevier County. And I think that that's because they don't want to face our local constituents and those of us that are involved heavily into the coal mining business. But anyway, as you mentioned, that meeting is coming up on May 19th in Salt Lake City. It's scheduled at the Salt Palace from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And just like in the last regional Hays meeting that was held in Salt Lake, we want to be sure that our local community is involved and informed. And please come, because your presence and your comments will be not only recorded and taken down, but also just our numbers have to be there. And so again, that's May 19th, Salt Lake City at the Salt Palace from 10 until 4. We have also sent a letter to the BLM from the commission asking them to consider moving that. We've not heard a reply. We don't suspect that we will to that letter. But again, we have followed and we have asked that they come to our area and hold their meetings. We've got plenty of facilities that would accommodate over 500 people. And it's just a shame that they decided not to contact any of us and ask if they could do that.
Sounds like it was definitely well orchestrated to make sure that it wasn't held here in the local area. But with that being said, I mean, the Salt Palace, we're talking about a two-hour drive. You mentioned the presence on how important that really is. What can the mere presence of a great crowd from this area bring to the table at a meeting like this?
You know, just a few days ago, I had a reporter call me in regards to my feelings of what this process of the moratorium on coal leases would have in our area. And then their question was, do you think you'll have the same turnout that you did at the regional Hays meeting? And I said, absolutely. This is vital to our economy and to the nation's economy. And for us just to sit idly by and not do anything about it, it'll have a major impact by people being there. Whether you choose to speak or not, just the sheer numbers of people that are interested helps us outweigh those special interest groups that I can guarantee will be there. You know, anytime a meeting's held in Salt Lake, every environmental group that has access to that area will be there, and they'll be there in force, and their people will come with them. But they become very silent when we show up in force too, because they no longer own the show.
As far as some of the things that will be discussed at this meeting on May 19th, give me the most important aspect of it and what you will hear if you attend.
I'm hoping that they'll give a little bit more detail of why this process is. We can all go into the Bureau, the BLM sites, and pull up their information. But this is dealing with Secretarial Order 3338, which was issued by Sally Jewell, of which I really question that they have that authority to issue such an order and put this moratorium in place. But the most important thing that you can come prepared for is to talk about the local economy, what mining does for us and what it does for your individual families. Also, what it means long term for us to have a viable access to the federal grounds for the leasing. Part of this is all coming about because of the claim that the federal government doesn't get what their a fair share as far as the royalties go. Remember that coal mining is a very difficult process to extract, high cost associated with it, but also that there's the environmental concerns. And in last year in March, the BLM actually held some open meetings. Six, I think it was five of them, as a matter of fact, none of them in Utah. And this was their headline. It was open conversation about modernizing the coal program. And I can tell you that this is nothing more than a ploy of the groups of that's keep it in the ground and on, that this is nothing more than the environmentalist coming out in force and then the Department of Interior and the BLM hearing their voice and not ours, because that's all this is. These things have been reviewed in the past. There's been temporary holds on leases, but nothing like the 3 to 4 year process that they're trying to put this through. And in those meetings, they came up with some basically bullet points that seem to be the repetitive things that came out. So you should know that you come to a meeting to talk about local economy, local resources, access to federal ground, and any other technical data. If you're working with any of the coal mines, or you've been a retired, or you're now a retired miner, bring that information of the importance that coal plays in our industry and in our economy, but also in that worldwide market.
For somebody who's in your position, Carbon County Commissioner, and you know, you see these topics being brought up, and of course you're going to have a chance to be there at the meeting as well. Is it frustrating? Is it exciting? What's the mood from you personally going into something like this?
You know, it's very, very frustrating, because even though we want to have our voice heard, we are not seeing that, particularly in the press these days. I often ask the question, is why is it so hard to believe me as an elected official from a rural county than it is to believe the mechanism that the environmentalists use to put their message out there? I mean, what I have to say and what I'm telling you is the truth. There's nothing hidden. There's no hidden agenda here. I just believe that we have a federal overreach into all of our lives, but we also, as I've talked before, we're dealing with sensationalism versus true environmentalism. And anybody that comes to our area, they don't understand the coal mining process. They don't understand how we handle it and haul it, and the real viability that it is in providing a stable form of not only electricity, but all the other products that we've talked about before that coal actually is used in.
Again, joining us right now, it's Carbon County Commissioner Jay Potter, as he's talking about the scoping meeting in regards to the moratorium on coal leases. Again, that's Salt Lake City, May 19th. And again, you invite everybody from the community to make sure they take the journey up to the Salt Palace.
I do. And again, even if you're not coming to make comments, if you just want to come and be part of that process and support the coal industry, that's very, very important. But if you're willing to speak, come prepared and take that time. This is an all-day process, and there'll be lots of opportunity to participate as long as you're willing to come up and do that. If they happen to change it to Carbon County, I'll be back. We'll let you know so you don't have to do the drive. But right now, it looks like we're going to have to make the trip up there.
And, 6 hours. It seems like this is something that it could go on for weeks. We're going to try to cram it into 6 hours.
Exactly. And like I said, this is one of several scoping meetings in the Western United States. But it's the closest one to us, so let's be sure that we support that. And you're right. This is not something that's going to go away very easily. Even after these scoping meetings are finished, I mean, what really is the next step? But we can talk a little bit more about some of those details as far as what people should be aware of. As I mentioned, there were some points that came out of their open public process. But before I get into that, we talk about NEPA also, the National Environmental Protection Act. And good land management and NEPA specifies that anything that pertains to a local area, and this very much is a local area issue, that process starts, that planning process or hearing process starts in the area that's most affected, and that being Carbon, Emery, Sevier counties. And so they have bypassed even their own laws in not bringing it here. And again, I think it's because they don't want to face the people.
Right.
They know what kind of feelings and emotions we have as far as our own livelihoods and our own community goes. So that's very disheartening. You asked what's those feelings. It's very disheartening when we deal with the federal government, because I don't think they view us as important at all, and they're overlooking a major, major issue. This coal moratorium does basically two things. One, they will not take any new leases on federal grounds or put them out into the auction process. And two, any of them that are in that process of applying will also be taken off the table while this process goes forward. In our area, that means that, for example, SUFCO mine has a pending application that won't be acted upon unless something changes. Skyline was able to get theirs through before the moratorium went through. And our local mines like West Ridge and Lila, that's close in our area, they could definitely be impacted. The federal government says, well, we've got all these leases already out there. There's plenty of coal. There won't be a shortage. But from a real commercial standpoint, how do you plan ahead? How do you make that process of going forward if you know that you don't have access to a future lease for 3, 4, 5 years because of the process that they'll go through? My opinion is this, that they should go ahead and move forward with those that are definitely in that process of applying and at least let us have some type of stability while they put this moratorium in place, and then maybe look at them on a one-to-one basis. But it's just being run by the federal government without any real local say, and that's where that NEPA process was really put into place to protect us. So those are things that we have to consider as a local government on how do we get our voices heard. And this, again, is a great opportunity for our local people to be involved and to make sure that their voices are heard, Jordan.
Now, before I let you go, we did tease this a little bit at the beginning, an update on the port project. We haven't talked to you about that now in a couple of months. How are things moving in that direction?
You know, very good. After the legislation went through, of course, we have the $53 million that has been set aside. Again, these are not taxation dollars. These are dollars that are coming from the federal mineral royalties. But that gives us a place at the table. We probably have now 9 months of negotiation, both of contracts, throughput, the investment side of this. This is not just that we're building another facility. This is a deal that has to happen and be 100%. Not just speculative. And so we've got a lot of work to do over the next, like we said, 9 months. And that's with the port developer, TLC, who we would be working with. It's with, obviously in the news, there's been a lot said with the state of California and their dislike or scare tactics of coal. And so we've got some real work to do, but that is all we're proceeding down that road. And again, dollar one won't be spent on this unless the whole deal is put together. The $200 million in private equity comes in and their due diligence, the state monies that we've been able to set aside could then come in, and then we'd have the build-out process and be able to put coal out, which would double our capacity as far as our availability to an international market. Interesting, I was just told that after the nuclear problems that Japan has had, they're actually recommissioning and or building new coal-fired power plants in Japan to get away from the nuclear issues that they've had. So it's an expanding market. It's a world market, and when you have the best coal in the world, there's always going to be a demand for it. And so that's one very big part of what could help our area. Also, we talked about the product that could go out through that port is varied. It's a bulk terminal. But we talk about the making of steel and the need for coking coal, which is typically a metallurgic coal. And metallurgic coal, believe it or not, leases are not affected by this moratorium. Most of those are on the East Coast. But with the new technologies there that are now available, we can also make metallurgic coke out of our coal. And so this is, again, one more thing that they're hampering us in diversifying the uses of coal and diversifying our economy in general.
We've definitely covered a lot over the past 13, 14 minutes. Commissioner Potter, anything else that you'd like to add?
I would. I'd like to say just a word about renewables, if we could. I understand that there's technologies out there and that renewables will have their place, but the problem is that when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow, what do you do for power? There isn't the storage right now that handles that. The California utilities people have built so much solar that they have too much during the daylight hours, but they have none at night because they can't store it. So they talk about putting that into the Western grid. Well, it's good power, but the problem California then turns around and has is if they join the Western grid, they don't know if the electron's produced by coal or if it's produced by the sun. And so that causes them all that heartburn and that anxiety. So I don't have an answer to that. It was interesting. We had a solar company come visit us and asking if we were to come to the county, this is what we would need. We would need the 30% tax credit that the federal government gives on solar, and we'd want the county to give us a 70% tax abatement. And I did the math on that, and that sounds like that's 100% subsidy to bring a product in to then be competitive. That's the only way they can be competitive with coal or gas-fired power. And that's the kind of issues that we're really up against as we talk about coal, the future renewables, is it just depends on if those same monies had been put into clean coal technology. There's a lot going on with CO2 capture. I visited with a company just a week ago, fantastic process, But what do you do after you have it captured? So for all you chemists out there, we're really looking for a use, a new use or an expanded use for what you could do with CO2 in any of its forms, liquid, solid, or gas.
Well, Commissioner Potter, it's always fun to talk to you. I definitely appreciate the time once again. And hey, if this meeting is moved to Carbon County, I know we'll talk to you again real soon, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
Yeah. Please come May 19th, Salt Palace, Salt Lake City, between 10 and 4. I don't know that you'll need to stay the whole day, but if you can, come on up. We're hoping we have at least, if we had 500 people at the hearing on regional haze, I'd like to see 500 to 1,000 people there. It would just give the BLM a dose of their own medicine and send the right message.
Well, thank you so much, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Jordan.